This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, and that means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, especially Overcast. And I hope everyone is listening to us on one of those podcast apps because Google Podcast officially died today as we were recording this on April 3rd. Google Podcast is gone away. It's no more. Google decided to give the axe to that app, and I think that they're investing everything into YouTube Music. So thank you for finding us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any of your favorite podcast apps. We are a proud member of the Fans First Sports Network. Thank you for listening to us. Let's talk about it. It is officially April. The Capitals are down to just 8 games left in the regular season, and hanging on by a thread are their hopes for the playoffs after just a horrendous loss in Buffalo after, I want to say, a pretty good March. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, he's back. It's not a solo show tonight. Coach Dan, what's going on, man? We missed you last week.
I missed being here as well.
But you still had a good time, right?
Yeah, a little vacation. I talked about how I work at a school, and it was spring break. So we went on a little vacation with the little ones.
Nice.
And my sister and some friends. A friend of ours and her kid. And got to get out of town for a little bit, recharge the batteries before a busy summer coming up. And hopefully for me and the Caps. And so, I'm excited to be back. A lot went down while I was gone. As you texted me, I'm not allowed to take vacations anymore, at least not during the season. So, yeah, there's a handful of things that happened last week that we're going to touch on.
Yeah, usually Coach Dan and I on a show day will text back and forth, and we'll make sure each of us are updated on what is going on in the hockey world. And Dan just kept texting me like, hey, this happened. Hey, this happened. Hey, this happened. And I'm like, Why is this happening when you're not here? This is all stuff that you want to talk about. You got to be kidding me.
The question is why I was on my phone so much while I'm on vacation. But no, it was more like a, you know, not a staycation, but like a, we're out of town, but we're just kind of hanging out, renting the house. Like everything went down last week, from the Virginia stuff and DC and Ethan Bear. And, we're going to touch on those tonight a little bit. I know you kind of talked about them already, but I have some thoughts or just some things I wanted to discuss about those. But it's a lot going on, man.
A lot going on. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the Capitals. They had a very good March, but have kind of stumbled out of the gate here in April. They actually reached third in the division, which is kind of crazy, just a week or so ago. But now they're back in that second wild card spot with teams around them kind of chomping at the bit to get that eighth spot as well. So what's going on in Caps world? How are we starting April? What are your thoughts on what the Caps are doing right now?
First, I have to take a little bit of issue with your chomping at the bit remark, only because it seems like none of these teams actually want to get into the freaking playoffs. So if they're chomping, they have no teeth that they can use to chomp at said bit. I mean, it's been every team is like, "No, you take it. No,
you do it. You go ahead.
We don't. Go ahead. I don't want to be rude." So no, I mean, they did have a really good March. I mean, the Caps got 20 out of a possible 30 points during the month.
Shabby.
I think they went like 9-6. But two of those losses were overtime losses, so you got points out of those games. And then, like you said, they started off April kind of how we've seen this team be this year, where they get blown out by Buffalo. And, you know, it goes back to a conversation you and I have had many times in terms of this team's goal differential this year is very misleading. And I think if it's their goal differential is so bad, it's because they win tight games or they get blown out. There's no real, like, other option for this team. Not really.
Right.
And I think the biggest issue there is it's a mentality thing. And they do have a lot of younger guys. They're not all young. You know, this is still got, they have a fair amount of veterans on this roster, but for whatever reason this year, when they lose focus, they get blown out. And I think another kind of aspect to this that's a bit of a problem is Charlie Lindgren. And he's never played this many games before in the NHL. And I got to wonder, is he getting tired? You know, he's to an extent put the team on his back and carry them through this season. And now kind of looking at it going, you know, have they relied on him too much? Had they had to? And they might have to continue because Kemper got hurt in practice today. So they may not have a lot of choice going forward in terms of who their guy's going to be.
We could talk a little bit about Charlie Lindgren here, moving into what potentially could be the playoffs. But with Darcy Kemper leaving practice early due to a potential injury, it seemed like they, you know, there's a back-to-back coming up Thursday, Friday, Pens, Carolina. And then there's one to end the season as well on the 15th and 16th, the Bruins and the Flyers. I think this team's going to be going down to the wire, and that Flyers game is going to, you know, might be for the whole kit and caboodle and might be for everything on the 16th. But without Darcy Kemper there, I mean, it seems like end of this week was going to be his time to shine for at least one of those games to say, like, hey, I'm still relevant. Hey, I'm still here. I can still do what you're paying me for. And let Charlie kind of get off his feet for a little bit. But now it seems like Darcy may not be ready, and it could be a potential of a Hunter Shepard coming up, which he's doing really well for the Hershey Bears. And I'm sure with the Hershey Bears kind of locking everything up, they're okay with Hunter Shepard kind of doing some backup duty up in the NHL for a little bit, but they are going to want him back come postseason time for the Bears.
I mean, I would imagine. And now it sounds like things out of practice today is that Kemper is okay. Maybe that's a good little tweak. And so you want to get yourself an opportunity to, you know, not make it worse. And so I think he's probably, it looks like he might be okay, but we won't know more likely until tomorrow to see if they call up Shepard or, if, you know, we'll see who starts tomorrow. I have to imagine Lindgren starts tomorrow against Pittsburgh, but we'll see. But in terms of, you know, the games they got coming up, a number of these games are against teams that are chasing them or they're chasing for a playoff spot. I mean, that loss to the Sabres was not helpful because that's another team that's trying to push their way into the playoffs. You've got the teams around them are also doing really well. I mean, we thought Pittsburgh was sort of dead and buried. They're making a push now to get back into the playoffs. And if the Penguins win that game on Thursday, they're only a point behind the Caps.
Okay, yeah, I was about to say, it seems like it's a long shot for Pittsburgh to make not it anymore into that wild card spot. But yeah, not anymore. But at the same time, Pittsburgh and the Capitals, we know this. They don't like each other, and we all know that they don't like each other in the least. So, like, if the Penguins can play spoiler for the Capitals, they're going to do that. They enjoy doing that. The Capitals enjoy playing the spoiler as well. If this is their playoffs, then they're going to completely bring it on Thursday night. Now, the Capitals, I think, can also do that, especially with the return of Tom Wilson. But it's going to be intriguing to see which Caps team is going to show up against Pittsburgh.
Which Caps team is going to show up the rest of the season? Because you still have the Caps are in a good spot in terms of they have games in hand on, I believe, all of the teams that they are fighting with right now for these playoff spots. I mean, they're a point behind Philly for third in the division, but the Caps have two games on them. So that's four possible points that you can earn that the Flyers may not be able to or won't be able to. You're tied with Detroit, but the Caps have a game on hand on them. You're a point ahead of the Islanders, but you have a game on them. And you're 3 points up on Pittsburgh, and you have a game on them. So they're certainly, I wouldn't say that the Caps necessarily is like up to them in terms of where they're going to end up. But it is to an extent. They need to win every single game that they can going forward. I mean, how many games do we have left on this season? What, two, four, six?
Eight games left.
8 games left. You got to win most of them if you want to make the playoffs and if you want to end up third in the division, which I think as it stands right now, if they end up third in the division, they play Carolina and Evgeny Kuznetsov in the first round.
Oh, the drama.
Yeah. Or as things are going, they end up in the second wild card spot and they take on Peter Laviolette and the New York Rangers in the first round. So it feels like if they make the playoffs, there's an extra storyline no matter what they do. So there's a lot that is in their control and there's a lot that's out of their control. But I was talking about those teams. You're playing Detroit again. You're playing Pittsburgh on Thursday. You're playing Tampa, who you're not really chasing. But like, if they tank, then yeah, you could potentially jump into that first wild card spot if you can't get back into the top three in the division. Well, they're not getting the top two in the division. And you got the Flyers, like you said, at the end of the season, which that could come down to be a really important game for this team. So they don't have a really easy stretch the rest of the way. It's playoff hockey. It already has been, and it needs to be the rest of this regular season if they want to make the playoffs.
So do you think that game against Buffalo on Tuesday night, was that just an anomaly? Was it just guys with tired legs? Was it, you know, I was told by all the pundits out there, oh, this game against Buffalo, no big deal, easy 2 points. They're not really playing for anything. Caps go in there, get 2 points, go home, and they'll be in a good spot. And then they go out and they lose 6-2. So what was the story of that Buffalo game? Is it the loss of the fact that TJ Oshie wasn't on the ice? No Tom Wilson? I don't know. I feel like I don't know what the reasoning is. I've been saying this for years. Doesn't matter the coach or whatever. This team is so Jekyll and Hyde. You don't know who's going to show up when that puck is dropped.
No, that is very true. And that is very true for this season. And looking back, like, they've struggled with Buffalo this year. Yes. And then playing in Buffalo is not going to help them. But keep in mind, the Sabres aren't necessarily out of it. We were talking about the Penguins being out of it. Buffalo's only 2 points behind them and five behind the Caps. They very easily they need a lot of luck on their side, but the Sabres very easily could be back in the playoff hunt with a couple of key wins and some key losses for them. So everybody that they're going to be playing, except for I think Ottawa at this point, is pushing for a playoff spot. And this could be a really good thing for them going into the playoffs because they could already be at that next level in terms of how you want to play come late April and May. But they're going to have to do it with tired legs because every other team is kind of in the same position. And I don't think anyone in the NHL, that is, can use that as an excuse simply because everyone else is dealing with the same thing.
Everybody's dealing with the same thing. The Capitals, they have their own way of doing it, I guess. And you never know.
They got injuries and, you know, you talk about Kemper getting hurt. Oshie's out again. With, I'm guessing, his back again. And like, I feel for the dude, but at some point, like, having him in the locker room is great, but they have the cap space now that you've kind of moved on from Kuznetsov, but they have a big question regarding TJ Oshie this summer and what you're going to do with him. I mean, he's locked up. You can't necessarily get rid of him. I don't know if anyone would really be interested in taking him in on a trade. He's got one more year left on his deal. So he's a free agent after next season. Maybe you try and just see what you can get from him next year. And then, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you decide to hang him up, especially with a back injury, if that's what it is. Like, I don't have bad back like TJ Oshie bad back, but, you know, my back gets strained from time to time. And it can be very debilitating because it's not just your back. And then it hurts. And you move, you twist, you walking can be incredibly uncomfortable or downright incredibly painful. And so think about that, but then you're also trying to play hockey where very large Canadians named Lars are trying to hit you. Yeah. And so it's just, you know, it's very tough. And so part of me is like, I wouldn't be surprised necessarily now that he's reached 1,000 games. If in the summer he's like, hey guys, I'm out. Like, it's been amazing. You know, I'm sure they'll have like a night to celebrate him at some point next season. But like, my body's not up for it anymore, even though he might be, you know, mentally and spiritually and wants to be, just physically he can't do it anymore. And that's the reality of playing professional sports. Your body gets beat up. So I don't know, but they're going to have to make this playoff push without knowing that they can rely on him. And that's, you know, when you have older players, that's kind of the reality. You can't always rely on the older guys because they've been playing this game so long. They've been playing a physical game and it's hard to play as long as he has and to play 1,000 games. But they're getting Tom Wilson back, so hopefully he doesn't do anything dumb again and can contribute.
Now, with TJ Oshie being out, and let's just say he does decide to hang up the skates and retire this offseason. Let's just say hypothetically that happens. Do the Capitals have someone in-house that can step into TJ Oshie's shoes? I know we're not going to have anybody on the team right now that can, that is just like, all right, Oshie's out, this guy's in, and no talent loss is there. You're not going to find another TJ Oshie, a guy like him. But is there anybody in this organization right now that you can see that could be like, all right, in a year or two, maybe 3 years, this guy could be the next TJ Oshie? Is there anybody the Caps have like that right now?
I mean, in terms of just being saying he's the next TJ Oshie, like, no, I don't think so. And well, I mean, Ryan Leonard is a name that pops in my head, but I think it's more than the timeline that you've set out 2-3 years.
Right.
And I don't know if he's going to be quite that same way. I think that the stuff that we see, what I want to see is the goal scoring, right? When you say the next quote unquote TJ Oshie, I'm looking for the guy who can put the puck in the net, who can play well defensively, but is an incredibly offensively talented player. I think that sentence made sense. In terms of the behind the scenes, the camaraderie, the veteran leadership, like, I don't know. And maybe that gets split up between a number of players. When you talk about the goal scoring, Ivan Miroshnichenko ideally is a guy who can put the puck in the net.
Kenny, we haven't really seen that yet. I think he's getting there. Yeah.
I mean, he's got no points in his last 5 games, but he's also like 11 years old. So it's going to take him a little while to. No, I mean, I think we're seeing some stuff from him where you're like, ooh, I like that. I need to see more of that going forward. And he's a young guy. It's going to take him a little while. Not everybody comes in and is Alex Ovechkin blowing everybody away. So it might take him a little bit longer. But, you know, some of these young guys do need to step up a little bit. Protas has got no points in his last 9 games. McMichael has no points in his last 3. You want to see those guys producing a bit more. But in terms of replacing a guy like TJ Oshie in the offseason, I think you look. They said they've been looking for a top 6 winger, and they're still looking.
Still looking.
And I think that's what you need to find to replace him. Like, Milano would be great. I just don't think he has the consistency or the health right now to be able to replace Oshie's production. So maybe you have to go out and find someone in the summer that a team is willing to. You basically need to pull that same trade, the Brouwer for Oshie trade again, and see if you can find something like that where you bring in a guy who another team's like, you know what? We want to switch up what we're doing a little bit. We like this guy. We don't think he's going to fit with our new plan. We're going to move him out. We like this guy that you have. We'll swap. You know, we want a little bit more grit. We'll take someone off your hands and you can have, you know, this player. And they turn out to be an outstanding, you know, offensive forward for the Capitals. I don't know who that is. And I think it's tough to say right now. And I think there's every chance that Oshie comes back and plays next season. The question is going to be how much. But not having him go into this, you know, however long it might be of this final 8 games, it's tough.
Yeah.
He's a really important player for this team. And when you're constantly relying on the older players with an injury history like this, you're not setting yourself up to succeed. And I think this summer is going to be the next step of that retool. You know, we saw it start last year. It continued again, not really at the trade deadline, a little bit last summer a bit. And then we're going to see it again this summer with like the next step of turning this team over. We know what we're seeing from McMichael. He stepped up, even though I was saying, you know, he hasn't got a point in the last 3 games. Miroshnichenko has a very good chance of making this roster next season. Hendrix Lapierre is likely going to make this roster next season. Like, they're, you know, Protas, and he's got a new deal. Malmsteen, like, a lot of these guys are coming up. They get another year. We're now seeing more of what this team can be like under Spencer Carberry. And so are they going to be a better team next season? Yeah, I think so. But there's a lot of work to be done between then and now. Obviously, that doesn't matter for at the moment what we need to do. But the reality is it's harder and harder to rely on the older guys if they can't stay healthy.
Now, somebody that we can talk about right now that is returning to the lineup is Tom Wilson. He's coming off of his 6-game suspension, and he seems kind of annoyed about that suspension. I do as well.
Hey, why? Wait, hold on. What's he annoyed about? I'm annoyed at him.
He first off, he said
crunch time, and you're swinging your stick like an idiot.
It was a completely accidental hit. He did not. Irrelevant. He did not. Yeah, he did not mean to do it. The guy that Irrelevant. He hit didn't even miss a shift. Like, it wasn't Irrelevant. Like the guy had to go and leave the game and go to a dentist immediately. He didn't miss a shift. He's still playing. There's been worse
parts
stuff.
Parts of his teeth that were no longer there that when he stepped on the ice the first time that night were there. Yeah, I think. Actually, he's a hockey player, so that might not be true.
But, yeah, so Tom Wilson pretty much was like, look, I'm not going to fight the 6-game suspension. I'm more focused on the potential of getting into the playoffs with the Caps, so I'm just going to accept the 6 games. I think 6 games was a bit excessive, but I think Tom Wilson's reputation kind of got in the way there. But Tom Wilson returning to the lineup against Pittsburgh in D.C. against Pittsburgh. What are your thoughts about him coming back? Obviously, with T.J. Oshie not at 100%, we need a guy like Tom Wilson on the ice. But what do you think the impact's going to be of Tom Wilson being back on the ice for the Caps?
I think it's a massive thing for them, knowing that Oshie's, you know, going to be in and out of the lineup, knowing they're need some help on the right side. I think it's going to be a big thing for them, whether he's playing on the first line, second line. I mean, let's see what the lineup was last game. According to Daily Faceoff, you had Mira Shevchenko on the right with Ovechkin and McMichael, Milano, Protas, and Abe Kubel. I could easily see Wilson sliding into that first or second line, and it solidifies the lineup a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Wilson, for as much negativity that is expressed towards him by pundits and by fans of other teams and fans of the Capitals like myself who are frustrated with stupid choices that he makes from time to time, given it's been a while, that he's a talented offensive player and he's a veteran for this team. I mean, there was, coming from you as well as a lot of other people, he was going to be probably the next captain of this team. Yeah. And I think that made a lot of sense. But like I said, when he got suspended, like, captains don't get to make those dumb choices. One of the lines I use at work in, you know, outside of our podcast, is that everyone's going to make a mistake. I oversee almost 200 people during the summer. Whoa. And I tell them during our staff training, everybody's going to make a mistake. And that's true. That's reality. And I want them to know that going in so they don't freak out. But when you're the captain of a professional sports team, like, you take a penalty, fine, whatever. Like, everybody takes penalties. You know, you trip a guy, you're like, well, I was going for the puck, I missed. That's a trip. That's fine. You got me. I'll go sit in that box for 2 minutes and get some Doritos or something. You know, if you're the captain of a team and you say something stupid to the media, like, that happens all the time. You don't get to swing your stick like a madman and hit a dude in the face, accident or not. You need to set the example for the rest of your team. I mean, you could be an Ovechkin-type leader where you're not necessarily going in the locker room and throwing stuff around. You lead by example, which Wilson's example was not great that night. Or you are a rah-rah type of guy. But what is the message you're sending? What are you going to tell the guys? My bad. We're pushing for the playoffs right now, and I got to go sit out for 6 games. What message does that send to your team? Tom Wilson is a very important player for this team. And the Capitals cannot afford for him to be dumb.
Yeah.
You know, Abe Kubel, Malinston, Scarbosa, like, some of these guys. I'm not saying swing and hit somebody and get suspended, but, like, if they get suspended, you're like, that's annoying. But we have guys that are of a similar status can kind of step in and play while they're, you know, being forced to sit out. Losing a guy like Tom Wilson, you can't replace him on this team. Not where they're at now. A better team, maybe. You know, you slide up a guy from the second line to the first line, third line to second line, so on. But the Caps can't afford to lose Tom Wilson. Yeah, they were okay without him. But we didn't know that when it happened. He didn't know that when it happened. They got not lucky, but things happened to work out. But he has to make better choices, especially if he's going to be the next captain. Like, if he ends up being the captain after Ovechkin retires, I'll have questions about that decision at this point.
All right. So if it's not going to be Tom Wilson in 2 years, getting that C, who do you think it would be? Because like, I don't think you put it on John Carlson because he's at like he's on the back nine of his career. I don't think you put it on him for like another year or two.
Nine.
Yeah.
You know, he's I think he, well, what is where's the thing? Carlson is a. Oh, he okay. Back, you know what? I take it back. Yeah, back nine's probably fair.
What he's. You still, 34 years old.
You still can, especially if you know if it's like a placeholder.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that guy might not be on the roster right now. I'm also, you know, we're not in the locker room, so we don't really know who gets steps up and says stuff. You know, I mean, Wilson was the logical choice until he was an idiot. And now you're, and like, look, I appreciate he, because it looked like, and I think the guy he hit and so was like, he apologized right away and was like, yeah. My bad. I didn't mean to do that. But like, what was he trying to do? I can't figure it out. Oh, I was going for the puck. No, you weren't. Puck was nowhere near it. I didn't know he was there. Yeah, you did. Because he's right in front of you. I know you're very tall, and that guy may not have been like the tallest player out there, but it wasn't so like he's not Martin St. Louis where you're looking around, then you have to look down to see him. Like that's not how it was working. So I don't know. He might not be on the roster. It could be a free agent they bring in, someone they trade for who's a veteran guy or a strong guy. He's like, look, this is who everyone's looking at to be the captain of this team. It makes a lot of sense. Maybe it's Dylan Strome. I don't know.
Oh, I mean, there's a guy I haven't thought of. Yeah, maybe. Dylan Strome, that would be a good one.
It's a possibility. So, I don't know. I don't know who it's going to be, but I'm curious. Maybe they don't have a captain. Maybe they go with a bunch of assistants until someone kind of takes on that role. I do want them to not rush into it. Like, I could see it being Tom Wilson. I just think I'll have questions about it because I question his ability to make not dumb choices. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since we've talked a little bit about John Carlson, we do have to say congratulations to him for playing in 1,000 games. And he'll be getting a little pregame celebration like we just saw with TJ Oshie not too long ago. Carlson will be getting his own celebration on April 7th, Sunday, the game against Ottawa. So pretty awesome. John Carlson's one of the few guys, 1,000 games in the NHL, all with the Capitals. That's a elite club to be a part of.
I mean, that's playing 1,000 games in any sport is just amazing. And to be the 13th cap to do so is pretty awesome. And, you know, credit to him, props to him. I'm a big Carlson fan. I like that he's on this team. I hope he retires a Capital. I could very easily see that happening. And it's a really cool thing to see.
I mean, I know you have a John Carlson sweater. I've got a John Carlson sweater. He's definitely a heart and soul type of guy. I don't know if you saw the clip, but I loved him teaching Ivan Miroshevchenko what babe meant.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, he's still out there. He's teaching, even if it's stuff like English. what year was it? It was a commercial that Carlson and Ovi did together, and Ovi he couldn't get hockey at its best correct. So it was Carlson constantly going at, and then it would be Ovechkin going hockey at the best, at the, and it was just, they had to keep going over and over again. So it seems like John Carlson,
I'll have to find that.
We used to use it for the what the puckies intro back in the day. This is a while ago. This is like 10 years ago. This commercial came out, but John Carlson always willing to help a Russian figure out the English language. That's one of his duties here as a Capital. But anyway, anything else we should cover here in Caps World?
I mean, I know we kind of talked about this, or you talked about it last week a bit, but first let's talk about Ethan Bear. You know, the news kind of came out last week that he was stepping away from the team to be part of the player assistance program and that he needed some help and some support. And first, I applaud anyone who is able and strong enough to ask for help when they know they need it. And I feel like more and more we're seeing players that are struggling and getting the help that they need. And I know the kind of question out there is like, are more players having issues or are players feeling more empowered and supported so they know they can ask for help? And I feel like it's the latter. And it's sort of how society to an extent is going in terms of therapy and getting help when you need it is becoming more and more readily available, and there's less stigma behind it. And so I think it is a really important thing that these players are getting the support that they need, that it's none of our freaking business what is happening. And I applaud him for doing what he needs to do. And hopefully he comes back stronger and better and better as a person, how he's feeling, and better as a hockey player.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy. Like, it's, I don't know the correct phrasing I should say here, 'cause I'm not happy he's in the player assistance program. I'm happy that he has the ability to go into the program if he needs it. I'm happy that he feels comfortable enough to ask for help. So those things I'm happy about. I'm happy that the NHL has a player's assistant program. But it's like you said, it's really none of our business about what's going on. We just wish him the best in his personal life. We'd love to see him back on this team eventually once he gets the help he needs. It's crazy, though, that Yevgeny Kuznetsov kind of went through something earlier this season, and now Ethan Bear is having to go through something as well. Two Capitals in one season. I don't remember that happening any time in the last couple of years, that two guys have entered the program in the same season. Like you said, though, maybe it's a good thing that they're comfortable enough to go ask for help and to get things figured out. I mean, these types of things didn't exist back in the 90s or 80s or something like that. It was something that you kind of had to hide. And you also feared, I mean, as you would, you're on a very competitive field. You know, if you step away from the team for a little bit, there's a good chance that you lose your spot. So that was the thing they really had to worry about back in the day. I'm sure that it still is a factor to this day, but it's good that these guys are realizing that they need help, that they're getting the help, and becoming themselves again. So we do wish Ethan Bear nothing but the best, and we'll see what happens with him moving forward. But we really do hope he gets the help he needs. And
he could be a really big part of this team going forward. Not necessarily this year. By no means should he or anyone try and rush him back. I don't think that's going to be the case. But should he rush back for this season? But he's of the right age bracket. I think he's of the right skill set. That, you know, an off season with this team, an opportunity to come in and know Carberry's system better, and the expectations for him, I think, are really important. And I think we're really going to see if he has the ability, skill-wise, to play on this team next season. But I think he could be a really important player for the Caps.
I hope so. I do. Anything else you'd like to talk about here in Caps World?
There's two other things. I'll save the longer conversation for the second. But the first one, I thought was interesting. Leonsis was talking on, I forget what it was, but he was being interviewed, and he was talking about how he wants to bring women's hockey to DC, which I think would be awesome. And the quote that I took out of it was, he said, "What I'd like to do is make Washington, D.C. the capital of women's professional sports." And I think that'd be great. I mean, the Mystics won a title relatively recently. I think they've had some injuries and things that have happened. They haven't been able to quite get back to that same level. But I know that they're certainly working towards that. The Spirit have... their ownership situation was a mess for a while. It settled down over the last few years, and things are going really well there. And I think having a women's hockey team, I think in the same interview, he was talking about having baseball and volleyball and other sort of things. I think DC can be a really great sports market. Mm-hmm. I think it's always tricky in terms of having the facilities available, because it's kind of a tucked in area, and it's hard to get things built, as we'll talk about in a moment. And so I think if the infrastructure is there and the money is there, then I think this could be a really good thing for our region. But in talking in terms of things getting built, you know what's not going to get built is a stadium in Virginia. Because that shot down, and then immediately the Caps, Leones in the city, Monumental in the city, announced that the Caps and the Wizards and Monumental Sports will be staying in the district, which I think was the right thing all along. Now, they did say that even after, you know, they were the Monumental rejected the $500 million from the district to go to Virginia, that the lines of communication stayed open between Muriel Bowser, the city council, I guess, and maybe not the city council, but Bowser and Leones is a Monumental. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't really care if it's true or not. In the end, the deal that needed to get done got done. So if I have this correct, it's $515 million is being given by the city to Monumental to fix up Capital One Arena, which is a nice building. Like, it's not like it's some, don't take this the wrong way, Brandon, but it's not like it's the arena in Baltimore. It's a nice arena, and they're going to make it even better. They are getting money towards a practice facility for the Wizards, which the goal is to keep it, I believe, in right around where Capital One is. That might change based on just availability, but they said they're going to have a new practice facility for the Wizards somewhere in the city. Yeah, you know, I know some Caps fans are looking at going, well, how come the Caps aren't getting a new facility? Well, they have one that's not that old.
Yeah.
And apparently it's like a really nice practice facility and one of the better ones in the NHL. So that's not something that I'm overly concerned about as a Caps fan for the team being like, they're going to be upset about not having a nice practice facility. They're going to be fine. And, you know, should it be in DC? That'd be great. But a lot of the players live in Virginia, so it kind of works out. And then there's going to be more space given for Monumental in the Gallery Place area, which is the area right around the rink. So, you know what? It was the right move to make. I'm glad everything worked out. Driving to Virginia would have been a nightmare for fans in the DC, for fans of the district and in Maryland. And for staying right there, I'm sure the city's going to work closer with them. I don't know what this means in terms of like the stadium stuff for the Commanders. I still think that's certainly possible that they're going to stay in DC. I know that Monumental was kind of talking to Maryland a little bit, but that never really looked like it was going to happen. You know, nah. I think a lot of things would have had to fall apart for that to happen, but we'll see what happens going forward. The state of Maryland could very easily keep the Commanders and build a new stadium on the, well, it's not FedEx anymore, Commanders Field site or whatever that dump is now called. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But no, I'm excited. I'm curious to see when they're going to do the construction, though, and what it's going to look like. Like, they just built within the last few years the new big screen in the middle of the big Jumbotron, in the middle of the, or whatever it's called, in the middle of Capital One. So, you know, you fix some of the other stuff. I'm sure they're going to make like box area nicer for the rich people, which doesn't really help you or me. And then, you know, the thing I always wanted was kind of a wider concourse. It always feels a bit cramped.
Right.
But when you're in the middle of a city, you can't really expand because then you're taking up, you know, the road or the sidewalk where people need to be able to get into the building. So I'm curious to see what these updates will look like.
Do you think that this Virginia deal, do you think that that Virginia deal ever was going to come to fruition? Do you think that literally was Ted Leonsis playing hardball and going to DC and being like, look, we're moving. And, you know, because magically they found an extra $15 million after that happened. Like, I want to say, like, this whole thing about moving to Virginia was all just a ploy to get an extra $15 million out of D.C.
No, I think he was going to Virginia. I think he was really like, do? You know what? Yeah, we're going to get all this land, and we're going to build all this cool stuff, and we're going to have everybody together, except for, like, the Mystics and the Coco and our other stuff. But everyone else is going to be here, and it's going to be great. And then people in Virginia were like, we got to pay how much? And you want what? Oh, yeah, no, thank you. So that is now, that particular area is now 0-2 in making announcements and having a stadium actually built. And I'm not trying to rub it in Virginia's face. Like, I know there's this like Maryland-Virginia rivalry. And in my mind, it's like a silly one because I have family in Virginia. I have no hate towards, except for Northern Virginia traffic from 95 to Tyson's. Like, what's that all about? But aside from that, like, I like Virginia a lot. But the stadium and the teams should be in the district. Like, 100%. Did I say percent?
Percent?
Percent. 100%.
All right, so anything else we should talk about here in Caps World?
No, I think we pretty much covered it, man.
All right, well, we are going to take a quick break, and you're going to hear from some of our sponsors, and then we'll be back with Down on the Farm. Everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays coach Dan. What's going on down on the farm?
Sorry, I'm just rocking out to the music. Let's start in Hershey, where the Bears have clinched the Atlantic Division title with their win over Lehigh Valley. The Bears are currently sitting at 101 points, 18 up on Providence in the division, and 12 up on Coachella Valley for the league lead.
They've got 101 points, and the Capitals are just trying to get to, like, 90.
They'll be back at it on Friday with back-to-back games in Iowa against the Wilds minor league affiliate. In other Bears news, the team announced that they have signed Caps 2021 fifth-round pick Hakon Hanelt to a professional tryout agreement. Now, he was playing in his native Germany this past season. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays are third in the South Division with 81 points, seven back of second place Jacksonville. They'll be back at it on Thursday in Savannah before hosting those same Ghost Pirates at the North Charleston Coliseum on Saturday. They then welcome Jacksonville on Sunday. In other ECHL news, the league announced that they have terminated the Newfoundland Growlers for failure to fulfill its obligations under the ECHL bylaws. Now, to me, that sounds like a really fancy way of not telling us what is happening. There was news about this last week, and I was like, what's going on here, everybody? And I have no idea, but I am very curious. Like, my guess is they just didn't pay their dues and they were like, get out. Or they weren't paying their players and they were like, get out. Now, all of the players that were for the Growlers are now unrestricted free agents. Now, there is a rule stating that no team in the ECHL is permitted to sign more than two players from the former club. So hopefully all the players that were in Newfoundland find new teams to play for. There was one guy, I can't remember his name, who is automatically sent to, I think it was back to his AHL team, or the team that he actually was the property of. That sounds messed up, but like they owned the player's rights, for lack of a better term. In collegiate news, Ryan Leonard is the 2024 NCAA Providence Regional Most Outstanding Player. Not Most Valuable Player?
Most Outstanding.
Leonard set a new freshman goal-scoring record with 31 goals. The record was previously set at 30 by former NHLer Brian Gianna. Leonard has helped Boston College advance to the Frozen Four. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Now, I know you were on vacation and everything, but did you see any of the NCAA tournament this past weekend?
I have not.
So I watched the Boston College versus Quinnipiac game, and man, that was a fantastic game, by the way. Quinnipiac versus Boston College went to OT. It was back and forth. I mean, that is what hockey is all about. But I was at work last Friday, and I had on the Boston College game from this past Friday, and a guy I work with comes in, and he was like, I didn't think the Caps played today. Why are they playing so early? I'm like, no, this is the Frozen Four NCAA. There's a guy on this team, Ryan Leonard. He's the Caps prospect. He got drafted last year. This is his freshman year in college. I'm like, the guy's going to be a menace when he gets to the NHL. He's so good. And we're sitting there watching the game for maybe like 2-3 minutes, and boom, immediately Ryan Leonard gets a goal. And I was like, see, do you see what I'm talking about? This guy's something special. And he was like, wow,
the guy.
That's our guy. And I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a good guy to watch in the NHL. He's going to be a lot of fun. So he's like, man, this is awesome. I love it. So, yeah, I've got another Caps fan here excited about Ryan Leonard coming to town. This guy, he is going to be a menace when he gets to the NHL. I can't wait to see what he does. I want you to buy me a Leonard jersey when he gets here. But that's another story.
All right.
Well, that's it for Down on the Farm. Go Bears, go Stingrays, go BC in the Frozen Four. That's it for Down on the Farm. We're going to take another break, and then we'll be back with Around the NHL and Beyond. Going around the NHL and beyond. Lots of stuff happening in the world of hockey. So, Coach Dan, catch us up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
Well, let's start in Montreal, where Caden Gooley was suspended for one game for slashing Philly's Travis Konechny. I feel like I've read Konechny's name a bunch of times as being the recipient of someone who did something dumb to get suspended. Why are we picking on him? Like, I know he plays for the Flyers, but can we be nice? This right. one, next one, I thought was pretty fun. I was watching this at work today, and I have many questions. Minnesota's Ryan Hartman was suspended for 3 games for unsportsmanlike conduct towards officials. Now, I was really curious as, like, what did he do? Did he just, like, refuse to leave, like, Tortorella? He's like, no, I'm staying right here. But he used an F word. So, no, I looked it up, and so I watched the NHL's Department of Player Safety video about the incident. And I find 3 games to be a bit dramatic in terms of the suspension for yelling at the refs.
I'm so excited. Here's
what happened. And let me see if you can figure out where at first something doesn't make a lot of sense. Vegas scores an empty net goal in overtime. Why is there an empty net in overtime is my first question.
That's a good point.
I didn't actually catch this at first until a colleague of mine, we were watching it, and he goes, wait, why is the goalie out of the net? And I was like, why is the goalie out of the net? I was like, hold up. Because there's not like there was like, you know, 3 seconds left and they're like, pull the goalie to get the extra skater on to try and score at the very end of overtime. Like, there's like a minute and a half left in the game. So where did the goalie go? So Vegas scores an empty net goal in overtime. And a frustrated Hartman throws his stick on the ice and yells at the refs. There's more going on here than is released in this video. There's something. Why is the goalie gone? Did like one ref signal for a penalty, so the guy left the goalie left the ice, but then there wasn't a penalty, so it's an empty goal. Like, I'm a little confused about that part. I get that like the suspension is due to the fact that he could have hurt someone when he threw the stick on the ice, though the only guy he could have hurt would have been his own player.
Right.
Because when he went to go throw the stick, the guy was coming over the bench and he was like, and like ducked to the side. And yelling at the refs, the line I believe is yelled at the refs in an unprofessional manner. Well, when what upset with the used? Referees, what would the NHL like players to do? Excuse me, sir. I have a question about the choice that you made a moment ago in terms of giving our team a penalty, and I would like to have some sort of discourse with you. I don't think you're going to get that from a grown man who's upset about a play. You're going to get profanity, or at least you're going to get anger. And you know what? If you're a referee, like, grow up a little bit. Like, should he be saying things and calling you names? No. Is he allowed to say that was a BS call? Yes. That's probably not what Hartman was saying. And if he was saying negative things like derogatory and or just hurtful things towards the ref, then yeah, he deserved to get a suspension. But I don't know. There's a lot here that I have questions about, starting with why the goalie was out of the net in overtime. Like, it's not like, whoops, our bad. Like, I just, was he injured? Like, because I didn't say he was. So I'm very confused. Now, to be fair, Hartman has already been suspended once earlier this season. as well as fined. And I think during the video, they were saying he's been suspended like 5 times in his career and like 9 times he's been fined or something like that. And I'm like, this guy needs to calm down a little bit. Like, there's something else going on here. In other players,
what could it be? What could it be? I don't know.
I mean, you have some guys that just, you know, like to kind of cross that line from time to time. Or apparently if you're Hartman all the time. But I don't know. I have so many questions about that particular just situation. Buffalo's Bowen Byram was fined $5,000 for interference against Ottawa's Angus Cruikshank. That is an amazing name.
Yeah.
Angus Cruikshank. Can we trade for him? I will get that t-shirt, jersey, as you call it. I will get Cruikshank jersey.
His goalie or goal song has to be a Hoobastank. That's what it's got to be.
Yeah. No, I'm on board with this plan. I agree.
Crawling in the dark. Not the reason.
That'd be a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
Anaheim's Ryan Strome was fined $5,000 for cross-checking Seattle's Ty Carty. And Philadelphia's Garnet Hathaway was fined $2,000 for diving. Come on, Garnet.
Garney.
You were a Capital. You know better. Although he plays for, not Laviolette, he plays for Tortorella now. So, in international news, the Women's World Championship kicked off today. Today being Wednesday. Sweden was the first nation to get a dub in the tournament with a 3-2 win over Denmark. The preliminary round continues through Tuesday, April 9th, with the quarterfinals beginning on April 11th. In collegiate news, now we had mentioned the Frozen Four already on this program. Tournament is now set. Now, in addition to Boston College, who advanced with that overtime win against Quinnipiac. I know how to pronounce that now because of our show last year. We also will be seeing Denver, Boston University, and Michigan will be the other teams playing in the NCAA championship, or playing for the NCAA championship, I should say. Number 2, Boston University will take on number 3, Denver, while number 1, Boston College will face Michigan, who got into the tournament after pulling off an upset over number 4, Michigan State. Semifinals will take place on April 11th at the Xcel Energy Center in St. Paul, Minnesota, while the championship game will be on April 13th. That's the news from the past little bit in the NHL and beyond.
So they set the tournament up on, I think it ended on Easter Sunday, April, March 31st. And then they don't play again until April 11th. That is quite the wait after, if you've been following this tournament, like almost 2 weeks. Almost a full 2 weeks that you're like, all right, we punched the ticket to the Frozen Four. Now let's go back to class.
We're going to go take a vacation.
And we're going to go chill until the 11th. Like, come on. It should be like this week. It should be like tonight or tomorrow to finish this up. Got to wait all that time. It's nuts.
I mean, maybe anyway. they do have class. They are college students.
Well, Coach Dad, is that it for the show this week?
That's it, buddy.
All right, everybody. Well, if you'd like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is post to either of us over on X. You can follow me at Brando Cash over on X. No one could say anything last week about it being called X, since it's called X, and that's what I called it last week. But Coach Dan, where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan talking off. Guides of Capitals related stuff on there, talking about Arsenal Football Club back to the top of the table, at least until Liverpool plays on Thursday or whenever they play next. And on there, talking about the Bills, their big trade of Stephon Diggs to the Texans today. I'm a little confused why we traded our number one receiver and 2 draft picks for a second round pick, even if the draft picks were like 5th and 7th round or something like that. So it like really matter, or 4th and 6th, something like that. I don't know who Josh Allen's throwing the ball to. Well, they got Curtis Samuel, who was with the Commanders last year, and Khalil Shakir. And, of course, we have the tight ends, Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. Jesus, I cannot remember his name. And, I'm not really sure what the Bills are doing this offseason. It's going to be very interesting. But you can also find me on there talking about the Commanders. I'm very curious to see what they do with that second pick in the draft. Where did the Ravens pick?
31st or something. They're way deep down. Like, they're going to be like close to midnight picking. I bet you they actually trade back. I bet you they trade back and don't go in the first round.
Yes, I mean, it's not, well, you need some linemen.
Yes. Yeah, we have no offensive line. We have Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, and no one to block for him.
Both going to get themselves killed this season. It's going to be Patrick Ramsey. But yeah, that's somehow finding me on Twitter.
Do you need me do you need me to like give you pointers on like where to pick up a Ravens jersey or like, you know, the best name to put on the back or, you know, whatever here. Whatever you're feeling. A polo. I can get you a Ravens polo. You need that?
Nope. Nope. You know what? I don't know what to do with my Diggs jersey and t-shirt right now, but and it's too, I ordered them like 2 years ago, so Fanatics won't do the swap out. That is, as much as Fanatics has completely botched Major League Baseball, and the, watch what I'm saying, actually not be true anymore, but and a lot of the stuff when they send it out, it's like a little off-centered or kind of messed up looking. They do, if a player gets traded, I think it's within like 3 months or something, the Fanatics will exchange the jersey for free. So I thought that's a pretty good, that's a nice thing to do. So yeah, that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you have enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all other sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs, and the National Hockey League. Yeah, it's finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, even though I could never be a fan of a certain purple clad team based out of Baltimore, because now I just feel like I'm jumping on the bandwagon.
Never say never.
Like, I'm an Orioles and a Nationals fan, but that's because I grew up as an Orioles fan and the Nationals didn't exist. But I'm from the D.C. area, so of course I'm going to follow the local teams. And there's no real rivalry between the Nats and the Orioles. Like, any rivalry there is just...
Just between the owners because of the Masson
not,
deal.
Not even anymore, though, because one of them's gone and the other one's going to be gone hopefully soon enough. So
yes, that's all going to get resolved. Psycho's gone.
I mean, that's all, you know, rest in peace, Peter Angelos. But all of that is... going to end soon enough, and I have no problem being a fan of those two teams, but I can't do it with the Ravens. It's nothing personal, it's nothing to do with them. It just seems like I'd be jumping on the bandwagon. I can't do that. That's but anyways, okay. If someone else happens to be a fan of a certain purple clad team based out of Baltimore, is there a certain podcast they should check out?
So you can check out my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. There will be a new show this week as me and my buddy Josh catch up on all things that have happened in the last month of the Baltimore Ravens. And you can listen to us wherever you get this podcast because we are all members of the Fans First Sports Network. Make sure you read or make sure you leave us an Apple Podcast review. Make sure you rate us over on Spotify and be social with the show. Let people know. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. Let's go over the games until we talk again. So it's kind of crazy. If you remember, big complaint in the early parts of this season was Coach Dan and I would do a show and be like, all right, there was one game to talk about in the last week. Not this time around. Nope.
Will not be an issue.
No. We have four games to talk about until we talk again. Four games. So on Thursday, April 4th, the Capitals welcome the Pittsburgh Penguins to town. That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that one on the Monumental Sports Network. And then on Friday, back-to-back games, Friday, April 5th, the Capitals travel to Carolina. Go say hi to Yevgeny Kuznetsov. They are up against Carolina at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that one locally, Monumental Sports Network. On Sunday, April 7th, the Capitals welcome the Ottawa Senators to town. That game starts at 6 o'clock, and you can watch that one on the Monumental Sports Network. And don't forget to check it out just for the John Carlson pre-game ceremony. And then on Tuesday, April 9th, the Capitals are in Detroit up against the Red Wings. That one you have to watch on ESPN. 7 o'clock start for that game. That is a big 4-point game. Big one. I know they got to win all the games, but that one is definitely one to circle. That's going to be a cutthroat game. You're going to have to get through Detroit. Give yourself some leeway. Earn those 2 points. Keep 2 points away from them. The Caps need to win that one in regulation. That is a must win for these boys. So, Coach Dan, back-to-backs, Penguins, Carolina. Who's goaltender for which game?
Lindgren against Pittsburgh, Kemper against Carolina if he's, you know, healthy.
Now, if you bring up Shepherd, does he get one game or do you go with Lindgren back-to-back?
You go with Lindgren back-to-back. You can't afford to screw around.
All right, well, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.